6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now, good friend of mine. Well, I can't say good friend. We haven't hung out that much, but we've hung out a little bit. Alex Taylor, University of Wyoming beat writer for WyO Sports. Alex, my man, I'm glad we could get this rolling again. It's been a little bit since I saw you guys, late in the summer, you and our guy Cody Tucker. How you been, my friend?
Good, man. Always a pleasure, Brady. Good to hear from you.
Well, we just talked to Sundance Wicks yesterday, and man, you gotta love covering this dude. I mean, he's not only freaking energetic, entertaining as hell, but he's kind of like a genuinely good dude, it seems like. And you know, college sports can be crazy. When you get a good one like that, man, you gotta enjoy yourself.
Well, and he tags me every time he goes to eat breakfast.
I saw that.
Trey Rose, I get a shout out, so it kind of reminds me. We kind of go back and forth of who's eating the better breakfast that day.
Sundance Wicks, though, like that kind of stuff, like, you know, having fun with the reporters. And again, you guys all have jobs to do, but at the same time, he gets the game. He understands, like, hey, we gotta treat the guys that are covering this team right. We gotta treat the fans right. We gotta have fun at the same time. I mean, he just seems to be the complete package. Although New Mexico fans might disagree with that.
Yeah, he's not popular in New Mexico for some reason, which is kind of crazy if you think about the coaches that have run through that program, that Sundance Wicks is the one that, piques their interest for being mean. But yeah. No, you're right. I mean, yeah, definitely, it's a lot. I mean, nothing against Jeff Linder, but obviously it's a little different vibe walking into a press conference, you know, even after a loss. And you're always going to walk away with something that you've probably never heard in your life before. And I tell people all the time, I mean, obviously in a different life, or if he decides to hang up the whistle at some point, I mean, there's definitely an avenue or a path for him as a motivational speaker somewhere, I'm sure.
No question. I mean, yeah, he's talking to us yesterday, and it's like, how do you not just want to drop and give him 50 push-ups right there listening to the guy talk? I don't know if we could complete that goal, but he certainly makes you want to.
Well, there's a book out there somewhere if an ambitious writer in Laramie wants to tackle that feat. I've tossed around the idea. I mean, you could just walk around with a recorder and you say one word. You don't even have to ask him a question. You just say a word, and then you'll get a 15-minute response about, yeah, like you said, that'll make you want to run through a brick wall.
No, I love it, man. Well, so what's the fan support like? Because obviously, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, football, not a problem. Football, you know, the folks up there, Alex, they bleed Wyoming, no question. Basketball has been a trickier beast. You can, you know, talk about the weather, all that, the driving situation. What has the fan buy-in been like for Sundance Wicks as we're in the middle of his second season?
I mean, not great. Obviously, it's kind of expected just because of, I mean, I don't want to say expected, but I mean, it's not that surprising, just kind of the situation that he inherited, obviously coming back from, he was the assistant on the team that made the tournament. And since then, I mean, obviously it's kind of been the Graham Ike injury, and then it's been really 3-4 bad years in a row. And then you mix in kind of the evolution of this transfer portal era of college sports. We're not naive to the fact that Wyoming fans are kind of behind. We're behind the times a little bit with the transfer portal. I think it's taken a lot of fans a lot of time to adjust to really the reality that you can't really be buying Wyoming jerseys with a player's name on the back. It doesn't really make any sense anymore.
Sure.
But I think just from an attendance standpoint, I mean, it's been really kind of disappointing this year in a sense, because you mentioned the weather earlier. I mean, it's really only snowed twice this entire winter here in Laramie, which is kind of obviously a unique situation. And you kind of run into, yes, the students are gone for a month for winter break. And yes, it was a 8 o'clock tip against UNLV on Tuesday. But I mean, I'm sure you saw the picture I posted. I mean, there's announced attendance was a little under 3,000. I mean, it didn't look like it, obviously. And that's, But I don't know. I think there's – it's always – I've always said it kind of goes both ways. I mean, the fans have to show up, and then also the school needs to do their job in marketing that atmosphere, and they're doing that today. I mean, they just came out with a promotion for, I think, next week's game against – I think it's next Tuesday or Wednesday against San Diego State here, that every student – elementary, high school, middle school, whatever it is, if you show up with proof that you're a student at a school, you get in for free. So they're trying, and hopefully that pays off next week.
I mean, Alex, don't you get the sense, though, like for the basketball side, like if you can't get buy-in – now, again, I know the win's got to come, and so far this season they've been coming. You know, they're sitting at, what, 11-4, about a 500 record in the conference at this stage. But with a guy like Sundance who – embraces, like, to me, the entertainment value that is college basketball. I mean, if a guy like him can't generate a big interest plus the winning, man, I don't know what can.
Well, and we've talked about before. I mean, obviously, there's no better person for the head coach of Wyoming than a guy like Sundance Wicks. Obviously, I feel like that's all clear just from talking to him for the first time ever. I mean, I feel like everybody gets that impression, but then you kind of factor in the non-conference. The wins have came this year, yes, but the schedule is not exciting, and Sundance Wicks knows that. I mean, nobody, it's well documented, obviously, nobody wants to come to Laramie and play in the non-conference if you'd like, unless you're desperately needing a game, which these teams don't. Really the best opponent that they had come here to Laramie in the non-conference was Austin Peay. So that's, I mean, that kind of tells you as a fan, I mean, you kind of look at the schedule. It's like, yeah, why would I go to this game when I could wait until January and go to the San Diego State game? And I get that part. But I think, I don't know, it's really a tough spot. And I feel bad for, you know, the players and a lot of things. Like Cody and I were talking about it at the game on Tuesday. Like, I think a lot of what people kind of forget about in this whole equation with the transfer portal and everything else, the NIL thing, is think about how the players feel when they walk into an empty arena every night. And it's, you know, you kind of factor that in. That's kind of a lost component of factoring that into their decision of, do I want to keep playing here, or do I want to go somewhere else where I can actually play in a packed gym? And you go on the road in the Mountain West every single night. You're playing in Spectrum or Viejas or even obviously Moby Arena or places like that, and then you come back home and play in front of 2,000 fans on a Tuesday night against UNLV and beat them by 32, and nobody's there.
And that's it's true. It's a double-edged sword, I suppose. A chicken and the egg, you know. If you can build that atmosphere up, then maybe you have a better chance of retaining guys. Obviously, we know, though, in this NIL world, I mean, so much of it comes down to a lot of dollars. And, you know, we've discussed this at great length on this show. You know, the Wyomings of the world, the CSUs of the world. You see all this stuff going on with the Power Four conferences, man. I mean, these players, the Washington story is wild. I know you've been paying attention to that. The money that is out there that they're getting on top of what they're getting as a part of the salary cap thing. I mean, the NIL deals just keep coming in. Do you, as a writer covering Wyoming, and obviously on this show, we talk Wyoming, we talk CSU, so all the same stuff we're talking about, like, do you look at that and get concerned about what the future looks like for the Mount West Conference? And honestly, like, even the new Pac-12, do you get concerned about the future of those conferences when you see how behind all these schools are and all the money that is just decorating these programs throughout the country?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you factor in, I mean, look at all the public discourse on, and we knew this was going to happen. I mean, should two Group of Five teams have made the college football playoff? Probably not. I mean, we kind of knew going into that, you know, they probably, neither of them, especially playing on the road in the first round, I mean, they probably didn't have a chance. The Group of Five just wasn't as, they didn't have that good of a team this year compared to, obviously, the Boise State, I feel like, was a much better team than both Tulane and James Madison last year. But, I mean, you look at just the public reaction and obviously the national media kind of spinning that into, well, this, they're never going to let that happen again, so they're going to do everything they can in their power to make sure, you know, Notre Dame and the Texases of the world and Vanderbilt even this year, is they want those teams in. So you definitely have to think of, you know, and Keith Kelly over in Cheyenne, we've talked about, like, the group of five in college football is the only sport out there where you go into a season and you really don't have a realistic chance of winning a national championship. And that's, you know, I'm sure you saw, I just wrote a column yesterday about all these people calling for Wyoming to drop to the FCS. And it's not a, you know, a lot of people, like, this question started with the NIL and the money situation. And it's, as from a fan's perspective, winning a championship, winning your conference, making the NCAA tournament, that is your goal going into a year. That's all fans care about. You think that the objective of college football is to go win a championship. In reality, colleges are businesses, and they're in the business of making as much money as possible. Obviously, they want to put a competitive team and win championships on top of it, but you have to factor in, like, Wyoming, and it sucks. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily something to hang your hat on, but Wyoming made more money going 4-8 in the Mountain West than Montana State probably did winning a national championship at a different level. And so you kind of factor that into this whole equation. I mean, what is this going to look like in 3 years? And if every time, you know, you kind of, like, you're just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And I couldn't even begin to imagine what college football specifically looks like in 5 years, and I don't know if I want to know.
Alex Taylor joining me, University of Wyoming beat writer for Wild Sports. And like we said, I know you're paying attention to the Washington story. How much, like, what is that contract? That was an NIL contract, right? And I was reading this lawyer that picked up Damon Williams and recently, and I read his LinkedIn post that he put out there that was basically like, yeah, we could have fought this. We could have maybe even won, and I'm summarizing here, but it was kind of like, at what cost? You know, all these teams are going to have quarterbacks and such. Do you know much about, because I know you got talons all over, you know, college football, this contract that Washington put together? I would love to see that, because I don't know if it's groundbreaking for the NCAA or if it was just, hey, it's January 9th, man. Do you really want to spend the rest of your college career fighting this, or do you want to go play football?
Well, and I think the legality of it is, I mean, I think we finally, for the first time, seen a student athlete try to get out of a legally binding contract that they literally just signed 4 days before, and they find out 4 days later that, oh, I actually have to stick to the contract I just signed. So I think that in itself is kind of encouraging that there are at least some guardrails. I say some, but, you know, in reality is, like, I think what you said, like, that lawyer said that they could have fought it. And I think I read somewhere that I think it was like a $4 million contract, and yeah, whatever school he went to would have owed Washington that money. Or obviously the quarterback, I guess, would have owed that money back to Washington because he signed the contract. And the other part of that is, if you were sitting there, I was curious, the other part of it is, if you're fighting that contract, Washington refused, I'm sure you saw that part of the story, is Washington refused to enter his name into the
wild
portal. And that, like, it, you're not, like, the student athlete isn't just putting their name, it's not like the Goblet of Fire where you're just putting your name in and, you know, trying to get into the portal. The school's department, their academic department, has to enroll you or to put your name into the transfer portal. So if you were going to sit there fighting that, I was curious if they would hold his name out until the portal closed, and then he wouldn't be allowed to transfer. That was the other part of, like, that would have been a whole legal mess. Like, if the portal is closed, there's only one window now. He would have been stuck at Washington anyways. So I think for the first time we're seeing a $4 million quarterback have consequences for actions, and hopefully at some point, I'm all for players making money and getting paid, but I think there needs, like you said earlier, I mean, there's just no restrictions. Like, you could do a salary cap for the revenue sharing, but look at Texas Tech. Cody and I talk about it all the time. I mean, Texas Tech, congrats to them. I mean, kudos to them. I mean, you just go out, you make the decision, we're going to win the Big 12 this year, and you pony up $30 or $40 million, and what do? You win the Big 12.
Well, and like you said, there's really no salary cap. I mean, here's the salary cap. Oh, but you can go do a bunch of external stuff to make the money that you need. We've got the business, we've got the donors ready for you. So this is what we're saying you're getting, but you're also going to get like another $3 million from Bob's dealership, you know, downtown. I mean, that's how we're fudging the numbers here. Alex, great from you, man. Wyoming, Nevada. Tomorrow night, how are we feeling? How are we feeling about this basketball team? Are they good? Is Wyoming good?
Yeah, I think, if you ask, I mean, Sundance, he'll be pretty straight up with you. I mean, he kind of said, like, they're right where they're supposed to be. And you factor in, obviously, where they were picked in the preseason poll, and it's really a young team. Yeah, obviously, some seniors, but, I mean, you're playing two true freshmen pretty consistently at this point. So, I think the 2-2 in the league, I mean, no one was really expecting them to go win at the Pit, and they played well for 20 minutes there and then kind of fell apart in the second half. But obviously you win the Air Force game, you're supposed to win, and the loss to Grand Canyon is really the only game that I would kind of look at as one that they might have felt like they could have won or should have won. And then obviously a huge bounce back against UNLV on Tuesday, winning by 32 points, really their big, I think that was their biggest conference win since 2001. So that kind of just goes to show what this team's able to do when they dictate the pace. And I can't remember the final score, but when you're putting up 100 points a night against UNLV, I mean, it's kind of, you're turning the tables on their program and what they've historically done to other teams. So yeah, I mean, when you are they good? I feel like that's kind of the question everybody around the league is kind of asking. Nobody's taken Wyoming seriously in basketball in 4 years, and rightfully so. I mean, we've all seen the seasons that they've had, the struggles they've had, and it's just been a bottom of the conference team, and I don't necessarily think that's the case this year. I mean, obviously there's still a long ways to go, but I don't know. You look at some of the games that they've had last year when they go to Moby Arena and lose by 40. I don't know if that's necessarily the makeup of this team this year. I think that they're going to kind of garner a little more respect, and I think it kind of starts with this Nevada game. I'm really curious how they carry some of that momentum into a road matchup against probably a top 3, top 4 Mountain West team right now. And then that's got to translate into hosting San Diego State for probably the last time ever, because, you know, Dutcher's never going to come to Laramie voluntarily. And, you know, in front of that, we talked about that crowd promotion, so hopefully a good crowd.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that one tomorrow night for sure. Alex, great work by you. I've been reaching out because you've been on fire lately, so I've been loving the stuff. So keep up the great work, and don't be a stranger. I love Cody Tucker, but let me say this. You made a Goblet of Fire reference. Cody would never do that, Alex.
Yeah, he would punch me in the face.
He would punch you, but I love it. I'm a Harry Potter guy. So
Hey, shout out Steve Smiley, by the way. I saw a career win 100.
Yes.
Shout out Steve Smiley.
Yeah, and he and like Sundance are like best friends, man. So I always say Sundance is like Steve Smiley, but on steroids. Not that Sundance does steroids, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, basically him, Linder, and Sundance are all like some weird stepbrothers or something.
Yeah, they are. It's kind of crazy, actually. Alex, my man, appreciate you, dude. Have a great weekend.
All right, Brady, appreciate it, man.
All right, 25 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's take a quick break. We got Chris Dempsey coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's switch gears. Switch gears on go on a journey with me. Walk alongside me, and let's talk Denver Nuggets. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.